Now we are coming to present some of the results we got in the project related to the relationship between the quality systems and the patient level outcomes. So I think that was the main aim of the project from the research point of view. Of course, the main aim for the policymaking point of view is to provide guidance to the policymakers and managers and professionals to develop their quality systems. So let's try to see what we are going to present now. I would like to present in some detail some of the clinical effectiveness and patient involvement descriptives. We think that this has a value in itself because this is a cross-sectional study, but it covers a lot of hospitals, 189 hospitals. Data that we will present for the clinical indicators are for the in-depth hospitals, which are 74 hospitals, 4 departments, you will see, and then we will see about the associations between the quality management system, both at hospital and departmental level, with these outcomes. And we will see how what are the results we have achieved so far. Remember our construct? Are you just getting there? Do you know that the first part is the external part, which is external pressure and external assessment? We are not going to present on that at this time. We are going to present on the quality management systems, the ones we have here, okay, and its association with the clinical outcomes, and also we will present the departmental quality strategies and the outcomes, both at clinical level and patient involvement level in the 4 conditions. So these are the results we aim to present in this presentation. Let's go first to the descriptives. And I will try to go slowly to give you the sense of what happens. First of all, you know that we do not report individual countries, though you will be able to see the average range between countries, which means the average of the lowest country performing and the average of the highest. So you will see, we will show that, but you will see how what is the variability between the countries. But just to let you know that when we present association, the results as adjusted by country, by hospital characteristics, which mean teaching, non-teaching, size, number of beds, and when we talk about departments, we are also adjust for the departments, and when we talk about professionals, we adjust for gender, job, and age, meaning we adjust if you're a nurse or if you're a doctor. So the associations you have here are associations that have been this taken in account. Then later on, Onye and Caroline will present the different possibilities of dealing with these group areas that we are talking about. But for now, let's keep it simple. Let's talk about the clinical indicators and then about the patient level measures. How we have developed these clinical indicators? How have we selected them? Remember, we have 4 conditions: AMI, stroke, hip fracture, and deliveries. These 4 conditions were selected because they have a high number of people in the hospital, so we could find a good representative number of patients there, because they have an acceptable amount of complications. That means that not everything is still the same way. So in AMI you can have the medication or not. So these were selected because of the size of the volume and because of the possibility of having variability among the hospitals. The first thing we do is we make a literature review. That was great work done by our group in Denmark. Then they rate the evidence base of each indicator, saying this has relation with the outcomes or not, because we cannot measure surviving mortality in 6 months. This is a cross-sectional study. We have to decide for some indicators that had something to do with the final outcomes. So they rate the evidence for each indicator. Then they launch a consultation process with the European scientific societies linked to these four conditions. Then we make a feasibility consultation with country coordinators because they were very nice indicators that were not able to be collected because the data was not in the medical records. And then design the data collection sheet and make a pilot test. So the indicators we selected go through all this process. And of course we try to select the indicators that had better evidence-based rating and more feasibility. Well, here you have, you will see that the blue ones are what we call composite indicators. They are composed by different definitions. The first one says therapy given on time, that could be the fibrinolytic agent in 75 minutes or the PCI in acute myocardial infarction in less than 90 minutes. And both of them, one or the other, we call that therapy given on time. You see here that we have an N of 15,000 and then that we have a 40% compliance as average in of this indicator in the seven countries. The country average country range means that there is one country that has 27% of compliance as average, and the one that has the highest compliance is 54%. It's clear for now? Okay. Then the second one also, and these come from the chart review. You will see that some measures come from the chart review, others come from the visit, etc. Here you have the appropriate medications, that means that at discharge, patients receive prescribed these four medications, which are antiplatelet, beta blocker, statins, and AAC inhibitors. And they are prescribed at discharge. So here we have 73% of the sample, patient sample, having that, and that's the rank between the lowest country and the highest country. Well, what about stroke? Stroke, we have three variables and one composite that we call appropriate stroke management. The first one is to be treated with antiplatelet inhibitors 48 hours after admission, which is 94%, that's good news. Have a CT scan or an MRI scan in the first 24 hours, 95%, and the range are not very high, and also to be mobilized within the 48 hours or 2 days after admissions. Well, let me say that being mobilized means being mobilized and registered in the medical record, because you can be mobilized and registered there. So what we have here is registers. Here again, we have a highest variation. We don't know if it's in mobilization or in the registry of mobilization. And then we make a composite variable, which is called appropriate stroke management, meaning yes to everything. And that's 58% of the patients get this clinical management according to the medical records we are reviewing. Let's move to hip fractures. Am I going too fast? No? Yes? Going back.
Very clear.
No, but let me know, because I mean this is a formal meeting, but you are supposed to be to understand clearly what we are representing.
After the meeting.
If you are saying you as country coordinator, the answer is yes. Is you as member of the public, the answer is no till we have these results published. So it depends who is you. Okay, let's move to the hip fracture indicators. Here the key intervention is the surgery, of course, and then the mobilization of the patient. So receiving prophylactic antibiotic 1 hour before the surgical incision means we have 70% registered in the medical records. But here again, a huge variation. This is why Nick was talking before about prophylactic antibiotic in surgery 25 years ago. So it seems that still we don't have this properly registered or done in most or in some of the European hospitals. Then you have the prophylactic thromboembolic treatment received on the same day of admission. It's another key evidence-based indicator. And here again we have 70% in a huge range. I would say that there are differences between countries, but there are also huge differences inside each country. And we will plan to develop an article about variations inside and between countries, which I think is a very relevant policy issue for having in mind. Well, then again, here we have the early mobilization for the patients registered, of course, that's 42%, and here the range also is very high. Mobilization is an issue that perhaps not everybody registers, but I doubt it, because I know how careful the nurses are on registering the work they do. So I would say that it's a little bit strange to think that all this variation is done of non-registration, mostly because we went through the nursing notes and nursing. I think most or a huge part of that could have relation with something that has not been done. And then the famous in-hospital surgery waiting time. Remember that there is literature that says that if you are operated between the first 48 hours, you get better surviving results than you are operating later. So this is a quite high, I would say, reliable indicator, because of course you have the time of operation in all the operations that we perform, and you have the time of admission. So here again, we have to adjust half of the sample as average receive this care, and again we have this very huge variation on this management. Here we made two composite variables, which is the percentage of recommended care you receive. It means you have a yes here, a yes here, a yes here, and a yes here. You have 100%. If you have three, you have 75%. If you have less, you have 50, 25, or 0. So this composite variable talk about if you receive three of these indicators or four, which is 31% of the group. What does it mean? That you can have these and these and have a 70%, but if you are in the 30% that do not receive one of that, you are not receiving proper care. So if you see that in this way, which is, I would say, the bundle approach, receiving everything, there is only 31% of the patient receiving these four indicators, and again, a huge range between countries. And then, of course, the opposite is for the patient receiving less than 45% of the care we expected to receive. I think here there is a message, because most of these indicators are well accepted in the literature, have grade A evidence. So probably we have to discuss or to further go to understand the reasons why, as average, 30% of the patients in this sample receive appropriate care in this condition. And in itself, this is, I think, an important message that we have to further understand in the future. Okay, let's go to deliveries. We here also have some composite measures. We made what we call mother vaginal delivery complications, which means some mothers, in fact 2,200, who are scheduled to deliver a first baby vaginally, so that's a homogeneous selection of cases, they had an unplanned cesarean section, or a blood transfusion, or a laceration, or a 3 or 4 degree laceration on instrumentation of the delivery, which is what we call not a normal birth, or not expected normal birth. Here we have almost 1/4 of the deliveries we study receive any type of what we call mother complication, which is between 6% and 42%. I would just make you acquainted that episiotomy is not here. We discuss a lot of that, whether it should be here or not. We have the data on episiotomy, so I can present that. But we see that it was so much country-based that it was very difficult to really put the data inside and make it reliable the other data. So also we have breastfeeding, which has some very interesting country changes, country behaviors. So we exclude that type of indicators, but we have them as indicators to present in the descriptors in the future. And then it's what we call adverse birth outcome, which is was mainly based on the Apgar score. And we have Apgars below 7, which we have 1% of the sample. And again here, the differences are not so big. And then we make what we call a composite measure, which is called birth with complications. That means the mother has suffered one of these complications, or the baby has one of these complications. One or the other make a birth with complications, which is 25% in the range you see here. This is what we have so far for the clinical indicators. So perhaps we shall move towards the patient-centered care. I would like to present first some data on patient safety, because Solveig had presented some data on patient safety, but we have selected just one topic that we thought it could be of your interest. That is external visit data, and this is wards, okay? 72 AMI wards, 74 stroke wards, 74 hip wards, and 72 delivery wards. And we asked the visitors, just select randomly 10 patients and look if they have a bracelet or any type of identification. And that's the answer. In the AMI, there was 18 wards where there was 0 patients identified by selecting these 10 patients. Okay. There was 17, that there was from the 10 there was 1 to 8, and we assume that the proper number of patients identified you should have is at least from 9 to 10. So this is how this can be read. You will see that for AMI the behavior is this one. We have here in stroke we have less, it seems less because we cannot compare, it's just numbers what you have here. But it seems that there was less cases with 0 cases of identification. The behavior is quite similar, except when you come to the mother's wards, that to our surprise, the mothers tend not to be identified. I don't know, perhaps a delivery is not an illness, and there is something you can discuss on that. But it's quite interesting because it seems that they don't tend to be identified. But what happened with the babies? There are 6 wards in our sample where here there was no baby identified, and here it was less than, from 1 to 8, less than 9 babies identified. So we thought that it was generalized, the patient identification, but this is what we found. And these are the overall results for adults, excluding deliveries. Okay, let's move to also perceived patient harm. We ask from the questionnaire to the patients, do you think that you have had any clinical error in your care? And what we found is that 3.1% of the interviewed patients believe that they have an error. And then we ask, how did you find about that? I said, we find ourselves. And the other is, the professionals told me. which is good because it seems that professionals are starting to talk patients that there is they could be had been an error. And then we ask, how do you think the error was managed? And they say, real well, neither good nor bad, and that was a different type of but and not a specify. So just to give you a sense of the richness of the patient safety data we have. Again, variation is interesting. Perceived patient harm is also a thing to discuss, not very high, but patients have started to realize that something happens, which is interesting, and for the cultural point of view, relevant. And then here you have the results of the patient questionnaires, patient survey, about their involvement at departmental level. Here we have four scales. This one is a patient experience scale. It's the NORPEC, is a scale that is used in the northern countries, Denmark, Norway, Sweden. I think the people in the audience will know that very well. It's a questionnaire with a very few questions, I think it's 8, and it's value from 0 to 100. So this is a perception. Questionnaire. This one is the patient involvement in decision making. Do patients perceive that this part of the American survey, do you think that you have been involved as much as you want in your care? So this is patient involvement here. This is the hospital recommendation. Would you recommend this hospital to your family and friends if you have to come back? Here again, it's quite interesting that there are some differences in the hip fracture. Seems that the range is higher than in the others. And then is the perceived continuity of care. Do you feel that you can manage your medication? You have enough information of how to behave at home? This is just descriptive, but I think the good news are that we were able to put that all together in a questionnaire that just has 25 questions and can be answered by a patient in 6 minutes. So I think it's good that this question is available, the questionnaire is available, and we will be happy to share with you if you need it. I mean, it's in the website, and if you need it for research or other purposes, just let us know, and we will be happy to give you access to this instrument and all the other instruments in the new project. Okay, wow. That's the end of the descriptives. I mean, the descriptives you are going to see, because I can continue some hours with the descriptives, but don't worry, I wouldn't do more. And then let's try to answer the question, what about the hospital quality systems that Cordula has presented and these outcomes? Is there any relation? What do we know about the association between these quality constructs and the indicators? Okay. First of all, let's know how to read that. This is the independent and the dependent variable. This is the construct that talks about the quality at hospital level. Remember, they were three. Quality management system, that was the one more global and comprehensive, the quality compliance index, and this, that is the quality implementation index, to see the clinical areas more implemented or less, or whether you comply from the visit. We related that with some indicators, and then we have an odds ratio. I made some attempts to explain what is an odds ratio, but the epidemiologists in the room, please hold your okay, thank you. For the others, if an odds ratio is higher than 1, and of course it has a positive confidence, the number you have beside the comma is 2, that means that you have 20% more possibilities to have therapy given in AMI if you have one more point of this quality scale. Again, you have one more mature hospital that has one point more of this quality scale, you will get 20% more chances to have the therapy given on time. You will realize that, for example, here, if you have one more unit of the quality management system, more mature system, you will get 40% more chances to be directly admitted to a stroke unit. But the opposite is also true. If you have 1 point more development of the quality management compliance system, you will have less possibilities to have instrumentation in your delivery. So it's good again, because you have less possibility to have a complication. And also here you have best breather and the instrumental during vaginal delivery. Okay, this is what we find at hospital level, which are very interesting results. And here you have that for patient involvement. When you have one unit more in the quality management system, you have 0.3 more units in the patient involvement in decision making. This is really different. The beta means that from one unit of that, you increase 0.3 the results of the patient involvement in decision making. When you count this from 1 to 4, a little bit more difficult, but got it? Some of you at least? Okay, thank you. So here we see that there is some relation, quite weak at the patient level measures, at the patient involvement level, there is relation here, yeah it is, because here is from 0 to 4, if you increase 0.3, you are increasing a high percentage, but there is these three areas and not very strong. So, as a lesson, there is some relationship with the quality management system at hospital level, but in some indicators, which is quite relevant, and a little less in the patient involvement measures. So let's go to the departments. We hypothesize that if you have quality activities more closer to the patient or to the place where care is delivered, probably the impact of the activities you made at departmental level will be higher than the activities you made at hospital level. But we have seen this morning that there is clear relation between the hospital quality activities and the departmental quality activities. So let's go to the departments and ask ourselves, if you do some special things at the department, would you get some differences in the clinical and patient informed results? Okay, again, our friend. Here we put the quality management system at departmental level. And then we are now comparing these with these two, okay? Patient clinical effectiveness and patient involvement. So the question is, you have a more mature department in the quality field, would the patients receive better care in the clinical indicators or in the patient involvement measures? Okay, again, what ratio here? What we selected, four measures, where are we? Okay. We selected four measures to analyze the quality activities at departmental level. The first one is the way that department is organized. Do they have somebody responsible to take care of the whole department or this pathway? How do they manage guidelines? Do they have guidelines approved? So this is what is done in this first one. In the second one, if you are an, let's say, acute myocardial infarction, are you organized to provide what is called evidence-based care? Do you have a screening system for patients with acute pain? Do you have a way to ensure that a specialist is available to perform streptokinase or PCI? Because you cannot do that if you don't have a specialist there. So it's the organization that makes possible that the indicators are accomplished. The other one is about patient safety strategies in the world. Is potassium fluoride closed? Do you have systems that ensure that patients are properly marked if they are they could fall? So there are these world requirements for patient safety. Are they in place? And then the last one is how the department work on quality. Do they review their results? Do professionals know about their results? Do they receive feedback? Do they participate in the audit in the clinic? So we got the impression that these four constructs could be the ones that could mark the PDCA cycle and the organization of the department. Then, what happens if you have these type of things? Here you have all the indicators on acute myocardial infarction. I'm going to present by all the departments, but not being so slow. But see, for example, that if you have evidence-based organization of the pathway, you have here the 60% more chances to receive ACI at discharge. If you have your patient safety strategies in place, it's 90% more chances, 80% more chances to get this therapy, appropriate therapy. So it seems that there are quite, I would say, relation between the quality systems and some or most of the indicators in the AMI. The same happened in stroke. Here, you multiply by 6 the possibility of being admitted to a stroke unit if your hospital is organized in a way that follows the path of the patient. Probably the reason is that if you organize your organization in this way, probably at the same time you dedicate a part of your ward to take care of this patient. So it's part of the same logical. But here you also see the possibilities of having this organization. Here, for example, you see the differences between the four constructs on the quality and the indicators of stroke. Same for hip. Here you have, for example, we were discussing this. Remember, we discussed a pre-surgical antibiotic administered. At the end, we got a very low number, but you can increase by almost 4 the chances of having that if you have patient safety strategies in place in your departments. For deliveries, the same. Some of these make difference. Here the difference is decrease the possibility of having a complication, because if you have this specialized responsibility one point more in this area, you will have the chances in this study to have an instrumentation or to have an episiotomy. So this is why in delivery you have to treat it the opposite, because they are complications. Okay? So it seems that for the clinical part of the business, we have some, I would say, relevant or strong relationship between the way of the departments are working in quality and the results they obtain in care. What have we learned so far? Well, mainly that it's possible to make these studies in a pan-European group. I know we have said that almost 50 times by now, but we are still surprised that we succeed to make all this work happen. We have discussed a lot about ethical issues and how difficult it can be, but now we have been using the same instruments in the 8 countries, which is quite relevant, and we have to further analyze their validity and all that, and we are doing that before to offer that to the scientific community. And then we have these instruments in 8 languages. So, as you have heard, the country coordinators said, what was your work? You say translation, translation, and translation. Yeah, they did it. But now the instruments are available in 8 languages. So could we offer that to the scientific community? What about the results, more the results we are presenting to you? Well, I think for the descriptive results, there are some major shortcomings and large variations. We didn't know what to expect, but this is a huge sample, could not be representative of Europe and not representative of the country, but it's a big sample. And the results we are finding from the descriptives seems to point that we need to work more in this business and have more data of how hospitals are performing and discussing the causes for the differences. Then in the association analysis, it seems that QMS hospital level are related with the outcomes, but with few of them. They are related, you have seen some relationship, more relation with the clinical area than inpatient level outcomes, but the relation is not so strong, which is not surprisingly, because we expected that the quality management system related at hospital related to the quality management system at departments, and in fact we found that. So where we found a clear association is between the quality management behavior at departmental level and the clinical indicators. But we have not seen clear associations between quality systems and patient-centered outcomes. So what happens? Do we need to rethink our quality systems to include things that make different the perceptions of the patients, the health transitions, their perception of involvement, their perception of having appropriate care? So I think there is a big interesting conclusion from this project that perhaps we working in quality areas need to introduce new strategies in our quality systems to be able to make a difference on the perceptions of the patients and their families. And well, that's it for now. I think probably you will have a lot of questions, but I thank you for your attention.